good to be here. I've got a microphone on, and I think I'm turned on and unmuted. Is that right, Tim? I'm audible to people, am I? Well, I've just come back from a few days in the UK, and I didn't want to announce it in the anniversary time, but my wife and I became grandparents while we were over there for the first time, so that was rather a joy. I'm going to be known as Pops, apparently, and Jack was born, now this is a man speaking, so Jack is a lovely size of £9.13 when he was born. The women amongst you may know how that feels, I'm not sure. But he's doing really well, and it was just great to be able to see my son and his wife learning how to be parents and then walking away. It was really quite nice. I spent some time with the bishops new bishops in the Anglican Communion, and we had a great time sharing. And in fact, there's an amazing amount of things that we have in common, even though there were bishops from the South Sudan, there were bishops from Canada, United States, from Kenya, from Melanesia, many, many differences in culture. And yet at heart, we are trying to make people disciples and enable people to discover Jesus Christ. So it was great to be able to learn things and just to be able to share some differences. Unfortunately, we shared some things which weren't quite so pleasant. I came away with a really heavy cold, and being a man, it's obviously flu. And so if my voice gives out, I'm walking around with a glass of water now because I'm frightened it's going to spill. But if my voice goes, then obviously the time for the sermon has finished. Some really interesting passages to look at today. And if I said nothing and we simply let the scripture speak, we could do a lot worse. Because we have some fascinating accounts of almost prehistory, of Genesis, when Joseph is reconciled to his brothers. Joseph, who's no doubt a character, and in the theme of many people in the Old Testament, picks up this brotherly hatred that goes on from Cain and Abel onwards. It's not Cain and Abel, it's Isaac and Ishmael. There's a division there. Jacob and Esau, and now Joseph and his brothers. And whereas they probably thought he was dead, God had taken him and put him in a position of power and an ability to be able to help his brothers in great distress. And there's a lot to think about there. And then we go to perhaps the Corinthians passage. Wonderful account of Paul, I just think, throwing his hands in the air. How foolish. What are you talking about? Of course resurrection is important. And of course we can't understand it. But that's at heart who we are. People who are resurrection people. People for whom death, a real reality for all of us. We may try and postpone it or ignore it, but it's there, but one which has been taken on by Jesus Christ and completely transformed. And that's what we have to look forward to. And then the gospel. A gospel which we want to ignore so often because it tells us to do what's so very hard. It tells us to love our enemies. It tells us to not just be good to those whom we're good with and we like, but to those who would rather wish us harm. So there's a great deal to think about. And I want to look at perhaps firstly at the gospel, because it's Luke's account of Jesus doing a sense of teaching. Now, I love mountains, and I think mountains are highly symbolic for all sorts of reasons. We see mountains as being places where people go to discover God in the Bible. Just think, Moses, up a mountain. People thought he died, but he was meeting with God and being given instructions to create a people. There is Elijah, who, having worked and seen God work, is so frightened he goes to hide, and God calls him to an encounter up a mountain. And Jesus, when he goes up a mountain, is perhaps showing some of what he is fulfilling what they've done. But also, he goes up a mountain, we read in Luke, to pray. And he prays all night before he chooses his disciples. And I live up on a hill, not a mountain. And I've got a great view. I can look down on all of Dunedin. I don't think I can quite see St. Matthew's, but I can see the cathedral, and we've got a great view. And I love both the symbolism of mountains and the reality of mountains. But Luke's account of Jesus' teaching is not him going up a mountain and sitting down. It's Jesus coming down onto a level place. He's walking amongst the people. And last week, if you were looking at the lectionary, it would talk about Jesus being on a level place and then gives him the four blessings and then the four woes. And it's so easy for me to enjoy being up a mountain, because you can look down so well on people. And I find myself such a position of knowing exactly what's right, and it's just a little bit shame for those down there. But don't worry, I can look down on you. And that's such a way that we go to in the church, isn't it, so easily. And we need mountaintop experiences. We need them for ourselves, and we need them to give us a perspective of God. God who is, in so many ways, loving and wanting us, but also so different, someone that we could worship. The psalm says, lead me to the place that is higher than I am. And that's what we need in our faith. But we also need to see that this God who is so other also comes down to become so like us. And as Christians, the incarnation is vitally important to us. We're not just worshipping a God who's other, even if he's benevolent and kind and interested. We are joining with a God who becomes like us in every way, but not sinful. And so that image of Jesus coming down and being on a level place, enabling us to see God with us, but also for us to look at each other, is a powerful lesson. And there's nothing that levels us more than the fact that we're all going to die. Sorry to bring that rather miserable point into us. But death is a very real part of our life, and it's a leveller. And in many ways, the fact that we're all going to die is noted in the Bible. You can see it talks about once we die, we're all the same. And it's good to remember that also in our life, that in fact, we are all the same. We are people whom God loves with a passion that's beyond us recognising. And we're all people, all of us, whom Jesus Christ was prepared to die for. And for when we get onto the little places where we think, actually, we hold the moral high ground here, it's important to realise that, in fact, we are all loved by God in a way that these differences will sometime disappear. So I think the fact that St. Paul is able to talk about this new body that all of us are going to inherit is a great encouragement, because my knees are wearing out. I'm now a grandfather, and there's lots of things I've got. This voice that's rapidly going makes me realise that, in fact, what God has got prepared for us is a good thing, and that's something for us to look forward to. But the great danger of being Christians is sometimes it's all pie in the sky when we die. And so that reminder from the gospel that, in fact, it's love now that's important. There's a real gradation, I think, a sort of degrees of how we can cope with this. Because I find it really hard to relate to those for whom I have niggles. I'm a great grudge holder, and God is dealing with that slowly. I've been blessed with a reasonably good memory, so I can still remember the hurts that I had at primary school and being put in the corner for taking the scissors, which I hadn't touched, still rankles a little bit. But when those silly little things turn into more serious ones and people who've hurt me and I can't forgive them, it can really damage our relationship with which God wants us to reconcile. So the feelings, I believe, are a grace and God will provide for us. So God starts off by saying, well, you can actually turn the other cheek. Don't worry about the feelings. There are actions. And so we've been given actions to show that we love other people. Now, that may well be that we actually, when we go shopping, we buy extra food and we put it in the food bank as we go there. There are things that we can do that show that we relate to other people. But ultimately, it does have to result to love. And that the love that we have in there, I've heard love is a verb and not just a noun. Actually, it is an action that we do. And eventually, the feelings can come afterwards. And so there is a chance for us to be able to to be as Joseph was, acting to see whether his brothers were genuine, to see if there'd been changes, and then to say, actually, I'm here because God has put me here to lead you into a place of safety. And see, he was able to forgive, and I think his grief, his forgiveness was genuine, shown by his grief and the tears and the relief that came. And so too with us. Maybe after several weeks, months, even years of actions, God can change us inside to return back to a place of love with those who are different from us. Now that's perhaps very real at the moment at this church, because there's been a lot of hurt. For those who are new here, you won't know, but it's not difficult to know that there have been and lots of hurts, and I have shared in the tears that have gone on here. But in fact, we are all on level ground with Jesus Christ, someone who leads us, who holds us, and says, I love you. And let's go on now and make disciples of others. What was so exciting talking amongst the bishops was it could have been so easy to slip into points of argument. We were meeting with a number of African bishops who'd made a conscious decision not to go with GAFCON, but to actually come and meet. So they were wanting to talk. And yet, some of the things they were facing, the question that came up was, well, how is same-sex marriage being a hindrance to the gospel? And then hearing the Canadian bishops say how same-sex marriage is a hindrance to the gospel because people aren't coming to church anymore. So just hearing different perspectives of how things are. Hearing how somebody became a bishop and has done 2,000 confirmations in their first year. 2,000 confirmations in their first year as bishop. Starting up churches, receiving 300 people into the church from other places. God is still at work. But also seeing how we can help each other. And seeing that, I was sharing this at the Lay Ministers' evening yesterday, Lay Ministers' Day yesterday, how prayer is a real problem because busyness slips in. But as we learn to pray for each other and with each other, as we recognize that God is with us in the situation we're at, and that we're actually on a level ground with all around about us, we can see God's kingdom come. There is a sense of God being here, isn't there? There's a sense of God's presence amongst those that meet in his name. We're talking first thing this morning about Matthew, you were saying, you know, when God comes and he brings his angels. And I was thinking about how Elisha's servant was so worried about the oppression that was coming around about him. And Elisha prayed that his eyes would be opened and he saw the heavenly host that was surrounding. And maybe our eyes need to be opened, firstly to see Jesus Christ, the one who always calls us and leads us on, and then to see what he's put in place for us to be the people of God. And that story about Elisha and the surrounding soldiers and angels ends up with hospitality being shown to an opposing theme. Maybe barriers will go and we will all acknowledge Jesus Christ. And when we have these new bodies that are promised to us, we will be dancing and we'll be celebrating with each other, and everything in the past will be behind us. My brothers and sisters, I want to offer these words in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.